When you meet together, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in tongues and another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must strengthen all of you. So has anybody asked the Holy Spirit?
He's not got sir. Last night I was reading a book, The Dangerous Act of Worship. And it talks about worship's not just about this, it's every aspect of our life. And it matches with how do we demonstrate justice and truth in what we do. And I was quite challenged. And then it said our services are designed to be safe places where we feel comfortable. So they usually have a structure and a format. And then it said having an open mic takes us out of that safe place. To a place where actually we're out of the safe place and God will meet with us and speak with us. And it completely transformed my view of coming this morning. So I'm waiting now for God to speak to us because we've done something different. We've stepped out of the routine of that safe place of doing what we usually do. And what we're saying is, I'm waiting, God, for you to speak to us.
Two things. One just came to me as we were singing that song, and I just think it's really appropriate for this morning, and that reminder that we've been lamenting this morning. We've been saying to God, it's really hard. This world is really hard, and we need to remember who he is as well. So this is a passage from Daniel 7, and Daniel had some amazing visions and dreams of really tough things, and one was a dream of four different beasts. I'm going to start, if you want to look at it later, Daniel 7, verse 6. After that, I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard, and on its back it had four wings like those of a bird. This beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. After that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening and very powerful. It had iron teeth that crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. And there's loads of different things that people say they represent, but basically it represents really bad things in this world that we see all around us. While I was thinking about the other horns, there before me was another one, a little one, which came up among them. And three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This one had eyes like that of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, the hair of his head was white as wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was sealed and the books were opened. And I continued to watch. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority but were allowed to live for a period of time. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And I just think, as we think about the Citizens Advice Bureau, it's so easy to be overwhelmed, but we just need to keep going to him, and remembering who he is. And then in with that, I was thinking yesterday, what are you saying to me, Lord, that might be helpful for other people? And my mind went, again in Daniel actually, to Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, which were, if you remember, the three guys who didn't want to bow down to Nebuchadnezzar. He'd built this massive great gold statue and said, you must bow down to me. And they said, no, we're not going to bow down to you. And he said, well, you're going to go in the furnace then. And this passage says, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. And I feel like that's where I am at the moment. Even if the things that are going on around us appear like they're going to happen, we will not back down. We will not worship. We will not fall in line with the rest of the world, because we have to hold on to him. We have to hold on to God and go in that direction, because he's got the victory in the end.
I was fostered when a young child to a Christian foster family, and he was a local preacher, and sometimes we would go to different churches and hear him preach, and he would always talk about a prophecy that God will take this country down to its knees. And I really believe that God's doing that now, because we're not listening to God. God is breaking us. But as Christians, we know the truth. We just got to hold on. Just got to hold on and trust him, because God's going to bring us through.
Last week I got an email about a lady who used to worship here 10 years ago. And this lady has got severe respiratory problems. And this email used the word incurable. My wife's incurable. And that really troubled me. Our God is a healer. And I think those of us who have got or had physical or mental health problems need to hold on to the fact that our God is a healer. Yes, we have lost some dear friends over recent times here. I don't fully understand healing, but I do know that I have had an instant healing of asthma. I had asthma for over 10 years and gone just like that. So my encouragement is to say to anybody that's got physical or mental health problems, hang in there, keep praying into it. Trust God to bring healing.
After I got your email yesterday, just praying about what God wanted to say, and just two words, a royal priesthood. So this is for all of us, these two verses. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy.
Thank you. Next time you're in the house of prayer, just take a look at the notice board up there, because we've been thinking a lot about what it means to be a royal priesthood, trusted rulers here upon the earth. Anyone else want to share?
Well, it's certainly been a good week for me, I can tell you that. On Wednesday, I was in the cathedral, and a friend of mine who wanted prayer, and our canon chancellor was there, Alan, and I went with her, and we sat together praying, just the three of us having a time of prayer, and we just sat in a circle having a nice quiet time, prayer time, and then he anointed her with oil, which is a blessing, and he said, would you like some? I said, yes, please. So I felt blessed. I really felt I carried on, continued praying after that, having being anointed with the lovely oil. It wasn't Alan at all that anointed me. I said, it's you, God. It's you. You anointed me and you anointed my friend. And then Thursday, before we had the churches together prayer meeting in the Methodist church, I went to a Eucharist on Thursday night at the cathedral. I thought it's only fitting to go forward at that communion rail and receive the bread and the wine, because that's God's blessing. That is God's, that is a food, that is a meal we all share with God, as you do here on this table. And I do give God thanks, and I really felt blessed when I went to the prayer meeting on Thursday, and what a good gathering that was there, just to have peace and quiet in that sanctuary of that Methodist church. Lovely it was, really lovely.
Thank you. It was a really interesting meeting. The first time we gathered to pray for our town, there was a real buzz of excitement about it. There was a real weight, just the seriousness of what we were about. as we gathered. We were relatively small in number, I have to say, but there was this sense of, oh, this is serious stuff that we're about here as we embark on praying for our community together as a church in this town.
On Monday at church meeting, we were praying and praying really for the way ahead for our church and where God wants to lead us. And I got a picture of lights along the seashore, string of lights, and the phrase was, "Be the lights along the shore." And Gwen followed it up with talking about how we could be a haven, you know, when the boats are, people are lost at sea and the ships are at sea, and the lights are where they would head to for safety. And just now this morning, I was sitting there thinking, just came to mind about many years ago, there was a word given to this church about setting sail, and we did. And I think we've seen what God has done after setting sail. And it seems to me that in the light of all that's been said this morning as well, that we are to be a haven for people who are lost, and we could be the lights along the shore and the haven for people who are lost.